Robert the Bruce was king of Scotland, who secured their independence from England. When he was leading the rebellion, his forces had been beaten badly 2 times. Legend has it he sat despairing in a cave when he spotted a spider trying to weave a web across the entrance of the cave. Several times the beastie tried to spin a thread across the large gap, and several times it fell, but it kept on trying. Bruce took courage from the spider's example, saying, "If at first you don't succeed, try again." He gathered his army, left the cave, and began a series of successful guerrilla attacks against the English enemy. If at first you don't succeed, try again. In our gospel today, Jesus shows us that same determination. He and his disciples are headed to Jerusalem. For the 3rd time, he had told them how he is going there to suffer, die, and be resurrected. After the 1st time, Peter tried to rebuke him, and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." After the 2nd attempt, the disciples began to argue about who among them was the greatest. Our gospel today shows that after the 3rd attempt, the brothers James and John approach him to ask for seats of honor in the kingdom to come. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" The cup to which Jesus is referring is the cup of suffering. The metaphor drinking the cup is used in the scriptures to refer to accepting the destiny assigned us by God. In his agony in the garden, Jesus will pray, "Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will." Jesus understands his destiny completely. James and John had always been somewhat impetuous. When first called by Jesus, they left their father Zebedee in the boat along with the hired men and followed him. Jesus gives them the nicknames Sons of Thunder. When having trouble in Samaria, they had wanted to call down fire from heaven. James, John, and Peter were with Jesus at his transfiguration, as well as at the agony in the garden. Their zeal to serve was fired by the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. James was the first apostle to suffer martyrdom. It's recorded in chapter 12 of the Acts of the Apostles, the only martyrdom of an apostle that's been recorded. Tradition says that John wrote the book of Revelations while exiled on the island of Patmos and died at an advanced age of natural causes in Ephesus in modern Turkey. Jesus linked the cup of destiny with our baptism. He reminds us that through baptism, we are all called to be servants like him. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. This morning, we are able to see people who are professing their belief in that desire to be Jesus' disciples and will be baptized at Easter next spring. And these words we hear today have special meaning for us on this World Mission Sunday. The celebration of World Mission Sunday is a popular day for a pope to canonize new saints, not only those who ministered or gave up their lives in lands traditionally known as mission territories, but women and men from every walk of life and from around the world. Pope Francis today declared several saints, three of them women who founded religious congregations, one a man who did the same, as well as 11 men who suffered martyrdom in Syria. I'm going to speak a little more about those men, the Syrian martyrs, because it relates so well to what's going on in the Holy Land today. 11 men were murdered in St. Paul's Church and convent in Damascus, Syria, the night between July 9th and 10th, 1860, by Druze militants. Father Ruiz was superior of the convent, and after the militants broke in, his first thought was to go to the church and consume the Eucharistic hosts to prevent them from being profaned. He was put to death at the foot of the altar. 7 other Franciscan friars, 6 Spanish and 1 Austrian, are being canonized with Father Ruiz, as well as 3 laymen. The Masabki brothers lived in Damascus and frequently assisted the Franciscan friars. Francis was a silk merchant who was married and was the father of 8 children. His brother Raphael was single, was known to spend long hours praying in the church. Abdel Mawadi was married with 5 children and helped out at the friar's school. These 11 men, like James and John, accepted the same cup and put themselves among the servants of God. In our first reading, Isaiah says that if the servant gives his life as an offering for sin, the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. God does not call us all to be martyrs, but he does call us all to be faithful. As a group, these new saints show us that each of us, in many diverse ways, can be faithful servants with the help of God. Our cup may be simply to be that servant to our families, friends, and co-workers that we see every day. Jesus tells his followers to keep the commandments, especially those related to family. He criticized the Pharisees for changing laws to make it more permissible to put worship in the temple above their responsibilities to their families. St. John Paul II called the family the domestic church. The Catechism states, the Christian family is a communion of persons, a sign and image of the communion of the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. In the procreation and education of children, it reflects the Father's work of creation. The family is called to partake of the prayer and sacrifice of Christ. Daily prayer and the reading of the Word of God strengthen it in charity. The Christian family has an evangelizing and missionary task. The missionary task each of us is given begins with the evangelization of our own families. If we don't succeed at first, try again. Now, that doesn't mean that we nag or we pester or we complain. We may be discouraged, but the success is up to God, and God has promised to help us. Our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews identifies Jesus as our high priest, who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. Jesus knows all about our weaknesses. That is why we confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. In his first letter, St. John wrote, "If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence in God and receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. We have confidence in this, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." No matter how many times we fall, we can look at the cross and know that Jesus will give us the grace to pick ourselves back up again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. The will of the Lord is accomplished through his servants.